to shir number 3 in the introduction to the 19 letters. This shir will be fairly brief, because we'll see part of what we're going to get into is it gets very complicated, and I'd like to stop before that part. But even before we start, I just want to make two comments on some of the things that I said last time. First of all, I'm using the term orthodox or orthodoxy, and sometimes to me even, it sounds a little bit degrading. I'm just using that term in contrast to conservative or reform or other types of quote-unquote Judaism. Orthodoxy is a relatively late term. I just mean from people. And the second point I want to say is that it may sound a little bit like I'm defending Mendelssohn. So I'm absolutely not. My only point is that Mendelssohn is a complicated figure, and I think people gloss over that a lot, and I'm not in any way trying to defend him. And what he started is absolutely destroyed Judaism. Okay, so turning to the Eastern European response, Jewish Eastern European response. So this could be summed up pretty easily, and that was to just basically close up against society, because society only ruins Judaism, and this ghetto, which was broken down, has to now be artificially put up and recreated to protect us. And anything outside of Judaism is it's treif, and you have to stay away from it. And basically, a lot of yeshivas, even today, they have this attitude that the yeshiva is basically a teva, and it protects you from everything going on outside. And I think that's a fairly succinct summary of the Eastern European response. And Rav Hirsch's response is going to take a lot longer to explain. So the first thing is that Judaism applies in all times and in all places and under all circumstances of life. And all of the outside, meaning the Derech Eretz, has to be used for Torah. Now, again, this you could fit right into Kant, that you're taking the outside and the part that you sense, and you're using that for Torah. Now, the question is how, when a person is 100% from, how they can and they should participate in the world, meaning that the Torah has absolute priority or superiority over the Derech Eretz, and this philosophy is called Torah Derech Eretz, and it's the unchanging Torah which is constantly and always ruling over the changing Derech Eretz. Now, in a lot of ways, this system of Rav Hirsch is much more complicated than the Eastern European response, because according to Rav Hirsch, you must know all of Torah to be able to participate in anything which is quote-unquote outside of Torah. So just throw an example out. So just for simple commerce, you have to know great portions of Chosha Mishpat, buying, selling, trading, etc. Now, besides perhaps for some of these Kantian ideas we spoke about, that Rav Hirsch may perhaps built his system on, of his understanding of Torah and Torah Derech Eretz and whatever, again, that with the disclaimer that we gave on that before, right? If anything, Isaac Breuer explains that according to Rav Hirsch, Kant, so to say, is on the threshold of Torah, but it didn't get any further than that. And what is that? That where a man can reason, that he has to, and that's his task in the world. But either way, the way Rav Hirsch built it up is that all Torah has to be built from within. And the German word is something like Aussicht. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but it means that it has to be built from within itself. So unlike the Rambam, in the Mohr, who uses outside ideas, like Aristotle, and we'll discuss this more in detail later, Rav Hirsch said that it has to be built up creatively through man's own reasoning, through Tam HaMitzvos, through Psukim, Agadita, etc., etc., and that all the tools of without, meaning man's ability to reason and to think, are needed to build up within, which is the Torah. Now, of course, if you don't have any of these ideas, you still have Torah. The point is that the access to these ideas allows you to expand your knowledge of Torah and have a deeper understanding of Torah. Torah stands on its own without anything else, right? It's the essential, and everything has to add up to Torah. Rav Hirsch writes somewhere, he writes, "We are confident that there is only one truth, and only one body of knowledge that can serve as the standard, which is Torah. Compared to it, all the other sciences are valid only provisionally. So again, just to break it down, because man is a thinking creature and we have this thing called Torah, so the Torah is what molds man and what he has to do, and all the outside knowledge that man picks up on his own, or the Chachma, is what's used to help him in this pursuit to understand Torah, but Torah nevertheless is something which stands on its own. So now the next thing to be discussed, which is really long, gets into a lot of detail, is Torah and Derech Eretz considered a synthesis of Torah and Derech Eretz, or is it considered that there is no synthesis whatsoever? And we're going to get into this next time, because it will probably take quite a while to go through all the details of it. Okay, so I hope I was clear in that basic understanding of what Torah and Derech Eretz is. So again, to say it simply, that this means that Judaism is applying to all times and places, under all circumstances, and that whatever is outside, meaning the Derech Eretz, is used by the Torah, which rules over everything. So very simply, that's the understanding, and all the rest that we said is just detail in how that is worked and what this system is built upon.